الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madri channel, there are many virtues, excellences of reciting Salat ala Nabi Durood Sharif. In one narration which is found in Kanzul Ummal, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, Man salla alayya yawm al jumu'ati كانت شفاعة له عندي يوم القيامة. Subhanallah, this particular hadith and this particular narration is in regard to the blessed day of Friday. And as you know right now, it's Yawmul Jumu'ah. The hadith states that whoever recites Salat upon me on the day of Friday, whoever remembers the Prophet عليه السلام in the form of Durood Sharif Salat ala Nabi on the day of Friday, I will intercede for him on the day of judgment. Subhanallah, that day of judgment where everybody will be in need of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The shafa'ah, the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one way of attaining that intercession, one way of attaining that shafa'ah is via reciting Salat ala Nabi, and as we heard, particularly on the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to take benefit and advantage of this blessed day of Friday and to recite Durood Sharif Salat ala Nabi in abundance. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. Whenever you get an opportunity to listen to sacred knowledge, make the intention that you are gaining that sacred knowledge to earn the rida, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make an intention that I am going to listen to the bayan to rectify myself. Whatever I hear in the bayan, I will try to practically implement it in my life. And make the intention that whatever you hear in the bayan today, you will try your utmost to impart it and to spread it to others as well, inshallah, so that it can be a form of sadaqah jariyah for you, inshallah. The topic that we will speak about, that we will hear about today, is a very, very important topic. And in all honesty, every single person is in need of knowing what is going to be mentioned today. We live in this world, we live in the dunya, and Allah Ta'ala has made it alamul asbab, a world of means. We have to adopt the means, and that leads to our survival on earth. In reality, Allah Ta'ala is the one who keep someone alive, grants death to someone, provides for someone, but he has made dhara'i', means to live comfortably on earth, to fend for ourselves, to feed ourselves, to look after ourselves. And to do this, it's very, very important to go out and search for sustenance. Nowhere does it say in the Holy Quran that to gain nourishment, you just sit at home and it will appear in your house suddenly and automatically. It doesn't say that in the Holy Quran, nor did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that. In fact, we're told in the Quran and the Hadith to go out in search of the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we will hear in the ayat of the Quran that I will mention. So the topic is about earning halal sustenance. And why do we say halal sustenance? Because there are many forms of earning which don't meet this criteria. They fall into the category of haram sustenance. Remember, both are considered as rizq, but one form of rizq, halal rizq, leads to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other form, which is haram rizq, leads to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah azza wa jal want from you and me? Allah ta'ala wants you to earn halal sustenance and to stay away from earning haram sustenance. So, let us begin with an account from the lives of one of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. And this blessed individual is one of the greatest scholars that this ummah ever witnessed and saw. Who am I referring to? I'm referring to none other than Al-Imam Al-A'zam Abu Hanifa Nu'man bin Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala, who, as we know, he formed the Hanafi school of fiqh, codified it. And this Hanafi school of fiqh and jurisprudence is the most acted on school in the entire world. Meaning the amount of adherence of the Hanafi school are far greater than the adherence of any other school of jurisprudence. So Allah Ta'ala gave great renown to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. But how do you think this happened? Did it happen just by chance? It just happened? No. Al-Imam Al-A'zam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, when we study his life, when we analyze his life, we look at his life, what we come to know and realize is that this person, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, was a man of great piety. He had a superior level of taqwa, God consciousness, and he would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this account that I'm about to mention to you now from his life shows this. That Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, alongside being a grand scholar, he was also a tajir. He was also a businessman. And in particular, he had a clothes business. He would sell cloth. Now, Sayyiduna Hafs bin Abdul Rahman rahmatullahi alayhi said, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa would give me the cloth, we would conduct business together, and he would say to me that so-and-so piece of cloth has a defect in it, has an aib in it. When you sell it, make sure you mention that aib, make sure you mention that defect. Sayyiduna Hafs bin Abdul Rahman rahmatullahi alayhi states that one day, while selling the cloth, I forgot to mention that defect. I forgot to mention the aib to the customer. Afterwards, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi found out. He found out that this happened, meaning I forgot to mention the defect in the cloth. What did he do? It's related that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, all of the cloth that he had in his possession, he gave all of the value of that away in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as sadaqah. So all the maal he had with him, all the cloth we had with him, whatever amount that came up to, he gave that amount in sadaqah. Now this was the superior level of taqwa that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi had in his heart. Think about it. Today, people look for ways to try and deceive others. Na'udhu billah. For example, if they know an item has an aib or a defect in it, and they sell multiple of those items at once, what they will try and do is, they'll place the one with the defect in the middle or at the bottom, or they'll try to conceal it and cover it. How is he going to find out? Or when he finds out, I'll say, I don't know anything about it, and I'll defend myself. Ma'adallah, thumma ma'adallah. This is happening. People are trying to deceive others for their own benefit. They don't care if the other person suffers nuqsan or harm or anything like that. All they care about is the money should come to me, and I should sell my maal. Even if it's defective, I'm not going to make people aware. But look at Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Look at his passion to earn halal sustenance. Remember, when you deceive others, when you wrong others in terms of tijarat, then how does that sustenance or that earning remain halal? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is teaching us through his life that if you want to earn and earn through trade and tijarat, yes, the doors are open. Islam allows you to do that. But ensure that you are trading according to Islamic principles and usul. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran regarding searching halal sustenance. In Surah Ma'idah, verse 88, Allah Ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim,
وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ.
Translation: and eat whatever sustenance which Allah has given you, lawful and pure, and fear Allah in whom you believe. This is one ayat of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, eat that which is lawful and pure. In another verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says,
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ.
Translation: O people, eat what is lawful and pure on the earth and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your pure enemy. Now, in these verses that I've mentioned to you, what does lawful and pure refer to? Let's hear an explanation of that. In Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it states pure and halal refers to that which is halal intrinsically, meaning in and of itself, such as meat, mutton, vegetables, lentils, and that which is obtained through halal means. And haram, you might ask, what is haram then? What is unlawful? What is impure? Sustenance. That which is earned through stealing, bribery, robbery, etc. So this is a clear distinction. Anything you earned through the rightful means, alhamdulillah, that's halal. That's jais for you to consume and eat. And anything which is done through wrongful means is haram. Now listen to this. Sayyiduna Yahya bin Mu'adh, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says so beautifully, obedience, ta'at. Everybody wants to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gives us the remedy, how to attain that obedience. He says, obedience is hidden in the treasures of Allah Almighty. Dua is the key to that treasure. And consuming halal is the cuts and bittings of the key. You know those, the cuts you have on the key? That is consuming halal. If a key does not have a cut, the door will not open. If the treasures cannot be accessed as a result, how will one reach the hidden obedience found within them? Hence, pay attention to what you eat and make your food pure, so that when you experience death, the light of good deeds appear before you instead of the darkness of evil deeds. Moreover, stop yourself from the sin of eating haram so that you can experience everlasting blessings. So we learn that if you want to become muti', if you want to become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to adopt earning halal sustenance. You have to make sure that whatever enters your mouth is halal. That's very, very important. Let's listen to some beautiful narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to halal sustenance. The first narration is found in Ithafu Sada. Allah Almighty will illuminate, will brighten the heart of the one who consumed halal for 40 days. Cause a spring of wisdom to gush forth from his tongue and guide him in the world and the hereafter. Someone who eats halal for 40 days on the trot, 40 days continuously, what's the reward? We learn that Allah will brighten his heart. Allah Ta'ala will cause wisdom to gush forth from his tongue. He will speak very wisely and he will be guided in the dunya and the akhirah as well. Another narration, this is in Sahih Ibn Hibban. Whoever acquired halal income, then ate from it himself or wore clothes purchased with it and also used it to feed others, feed and dress others from the creation of Allah, meaning his family members and other people. These actions of his are blessings and purity for him. We all want barakah. Everyone is seeking barakah today. People are living lives which are full of tension, stress, worry, concern. And this is a question we get asked time and time again. I want peace in my life, sukoon. I want barakah in my life. I want blessings in my life. And we're told time and time again that those blessings will only be achieved and attained if you obey Allah. And here we heard, by earning halal, eating halal yourself, making sure you feed other people halal as well, making sure that anything you gift to others is clothes or anything else, that's also from a halal source as well. Listen to the next narration. One day, the Prophet ﷺ was with his Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. A young man passed by. And this young man was quite strong in terms of physique. The companion said, if only this person used his strength, his good health, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the comment they made about him. But look at what the Prophet ﷺ replied. And this is what our deen teaches us, to have a good opinion of others. Look what the Prophet ﷺ said. If this person is out in search of sustenance for his young children, he is in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he is out in search of sustenance for his elderly parents, then again, he is in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he is in search of sustenance to save himself from having to ask others and consume haram, even then he is in the way of Allah. So three different reasons the Prophet ﷺ gave. Three ways of thinking regarding him. And finally the Prophet ﷺ said, however, if he is out to show off and boast, then he is in the way of Satan, meaning Shaitan. So you use your health, you use your strength in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attain halal sustenance. You are in the way of Allah Jalla wa'ala. You are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next narration is mentioned in Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat, and this is a question that me, you, and perhaps every single person has in their mind. This companion was honored to ask this question to the Prophet ﷺ. What was the question? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want you to pray to Allah for me. Can you pray to Allah for me so that He accepts my supplication? What is he asking? He's asking that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time I raise my hands in the court of Allah, I want my dua to be accepted. What did the Prophet ﷺ reply? Ya Sa'ad, tib mat'amak. Make your food pure. Make it pure. Takun mustajab ad-da'wa. You will become someone whose dua is accepted every single time. So we sometimes don't pay attention to these things, that the importance of halal. Nobody is here saying that, ma'adhallah, accusing Muslims of earning haram. But the Prophet ﷺ advised and encouraged time and time again. And this is something that one can fall into. We're not immune from that. If somebody tells you there's this new investment opportunity, guaranteed profit, there's no nuqsan, no harm of suffering loss, I've invested myself, you should invest as well, you know, so much profit, people won't even think twice. This is the nature of insan, you won't even think twice. Okay, you've done it as well, brother. How much did you invest? How much have you made? And as soon as he gives a figure that you think is large, you think, I'm in. But who stops to ask, what is this thing that you're talking about? How does this model work? What are the conditions? Are there any unlawful conditions that have been stipulated, meaning Islamically? Who goes to an alim or a mufti of Islam and asks, there's this investment opportunity related to this field? Here's the contract, here's the terms and conditions. Can you tell me if this is jais for me to invest in? And we have to say, very unfortunately, maybe one person in 1,000, if that, will go to a scholar and ask. Majority of people, they just dive into any sort of opportunity without even asking. So I would argue that in this day and age, it's very easy to fall into earning haram. I mean, there was a time where we didn't have this advancement in technology and making money on your phone or using the internet, etc. In the past, people would go out, it was labor work, or you had a skill, which it is still prevalent today, but so many online opportunities and other avenues have opened up. Now, who is going to ask whether this particular opportunity is jais or not? That's where our taqwa comes into play. That, okay, if I invest without asking, I could make a lot of money. But what if tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, I find out that what I earned was all impermissible for me? Meaning, because of this reason or that reason, it was najais, impermissible for me to even invest in that, to take up that opportunity. Then it will come back to haunt a person. And there are sakht, like severe wa'idat, warnings in the hadith about earning haram. So it's very, very important that whenever there's any such opportunity, investment opportunity, anything arises, and we get word of some new opportunity, we always consult with the ulama. Because that 10 minutes, 15 minutes, even an hour discussion you have with an alim can be so crucial in saving your akhirah. Moving on, a very powerful, profound account I would like to mention. This again shows how, I wouldn't say far we've come, how low we've stooped. When we consider the awliya of the past, the saliheen of the past, and their way of earning rizq, and then we look at our way, Allahu Akbar. It's like the difference between the earth and the heavens. Now, one buzurg, one pious predecessor, Sayyiduna Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, famous saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I traveled to the city of Tartus in search of halal livelihood. Now, when I arrived there, somebody approached me and said, I need a gardener to look after my vineyard. Are you willing to be employed for this job? He said, that's fine. I'm in search of halal sustenance. If you want to employ me, you know, what more can I ask for? Of course, I want this job. So he took on the job. And he goes, I proceeded to work there. One day, the owner arrived with his friends. Just like today, a businessman sometimes will go and visit his workplace. He's not always there, but he may come. He has workers there. He brings his friends as well for whatever purpose. Here, the garden owner brought his friends. And then he summoned this worker, Sayyiduna Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, and he said, go and pluck some grapes for us. Go and bring some grapes, sweet ones. Sayyiduna Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, went and he brought some grapes. He placed them before the Malik, the owner, and said, here are the grapes. Now, when the owner took a grape and consumed it, ate it, what did he realize? That the grape was sour. And he kind of lashed out at the worker, Sayyiduna Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, and he said, you've been working in this garden so many days, you still don't know how to distinguish between good grapes, the sweet ones, and the sour ones? Oh no, how can this be possible? You've probably ate many of them yourselves on a daily basis, and you still don't know the difference? Allahu Akbar. This is when Sayyiduna Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, oh, Malik, meaning his employer. Yes, I have been working in your garden for many days. Yes, I have been doing as you told me. But till now, I have not tasted a single grape. I've not had a single grape in your garden. I'm employed for working. I'm not employed for eating the grapes. And this is why I can't tell the difference. I haven't been eating the grapes. And then the owner turned to his friends and he said, Subhanallah, in astonishment, in surprise, in amazement, he said, how can this be? Somebody who works in a garden for so long, he's not tasted a single grape. But this was the taqwa, dear brothers in Islam and viewers of Madin Channel, of Sayyiduna Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi. They wouldn't abuse their position. And today we have to ask ourselves, we have to reflect. Nobody's going to do that for us. Now, if we're employed, we've got a job, which many of us do. As part of the job, we're employed, if you work a 9-to-5 for a certain duration during the day, and then you're given your work information. I want the employer says to you, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, and this meeting and this information or this piece of work. We all know what work has been assigned to us. Now, it could be the case during the 8-9 hours that we're employed, we're only actually working properly for 3 or 4 hours. The rest of the time we're lazing about. And the ulama of Islam have said, and in particular I would advise to read a book, 50 Madani Pearls of Earning Halal Sustenance, written by the founder of Dawud Islami, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, Damat Barakatul Aliyah, in which he goes through the scenarios when you're at work, what pace should you use? What pace should you work? He mentions that there is a slow pace, medium pace, and fast pace. If somebody is not working at least medium pace, then he needs to reconsider what he's doing because he's not fulfilling the conditions of that work. If he is lazy, if he is slow, and he's not fulfilling the conditions of his work, then that could lead to him suffering harm in the akhirah as well, in the dunya as well. If somebody earns haram, how is he going to gain blessings in that sustenance? So there's a certain pace that one has to continue his work at. Now here Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi fulfilled all the conditions of his work, and he didn't abuse his position. He wasn't taking from the possessions of the owner. That's a different topic altogether, that people do all sorts. So halal sustenance is very, very important. And just to wrap up, some of the effects of earning haram, because it goes hand in hand. I've mentioned so far the virtues, the fadail of earning halal, why we must do so, what the Quran says regarding this. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Whoever purchased a cloth, piece of cloth for 10 dirhams, and a single dirham of haram is included amongst those 10 dirhams, Allah Almighty will not accept any of his salah for as long as anything of the cloth remains in his use. So there are so many narrations in regards to haram sustenance as well. So what we need to realize is that we want peace in our lives, we want satisfaction in our lives, we want blessings in our lives. And if we're doing the opposite, earning haram, not considering where we earn wealth from, then we'll be in a lot of trouble. Then we will come to the scholars and the ulama and say, look, this problem and that problem, but we're not tackling the problem from the root. Dua is something that it repels calamities. And in one narration, dua is that thing which changes a person's destiny. But how come we pray, our du'as are not accepted? Or, bazaahir, seemingly, we think they're not accepted. We don't see the manifestation of the du'a. Listen to a narration from the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam once passed by a person who was weeping in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his hands are raised, he's doing du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam felt pity for him. Look at this person. Look how emotional he is. Look at his abundance in terms of crying, doing dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam himself asked, Ya Allah, this person is doing dua to you in this manner. O generous creator, why do you not answer his supplication? And listen to the reply. Allah ta'ala sent revelation to Musa alayhi salam and said, O Musa, even if this person weeps to such an extent that his soul leaves his body, and even to the extent that his hands reach the skies, I will still not accept his dua. And Musa alayhi salam, obviously like us, was inquisitive, wanted to know why. So he said, O Malik, O Master, why? Why will you not accept his dua? And Allah Ta'ala revealed that this person, he eats haram, he wears haram, and there is haram wealth in his home. How can his dua be accepted? How can Allah Ta'ala accept someone's dua who is in this situation? So this is the thing that we need to concentrate on. Very unfortunately, it has to be said, we don't pay any attention to it. And wherever it comes from, it should just come to me. So the topic today was about earning halal sustenance. We're all in need of earning. As we said right at the beginning, rizq is not guaranteed to come into your home by itself. You have to go out. You have to go in search of sustenance. This is alamul asbab. Allah Ta'ala has made it like this. And now this is the case. We have to do that. The only way to succeed is earning halal sustenance. Earning haram will only bring about destruction in your life. There's so many people who probably look back and they think that my children's marriages have ended, my children are off the tracks, this has happened and that has happened, and it must have been because I earned unlawfully. And I say if this realization occurs, even that's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person has realized. Some people don't even realize. So many calamities enter their life and they're still none the wiser. They don't realize that I'm not earning halal and that's causing all of these problems. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to earn every penny which is halal only. Khalis halal, and to avoid haram at all costs. May Allah ta'ala enable us to remember and act upon what has been said. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.